The Mike Lupica Podcast.
We are back now with the great Mike Lupica. He's one of the country's
most prominent
sports
columnists. Mike Lupica has covered just about every sport.
Candid interviews with legends he calls friends.
I was talking to Jordan about Woods after the basketball game the other night. Everybody in sports to be the next this guy, the next this guy. And Michael said, no, he's the first Tiger.
In your face questions.
How much of a dope is he?
Compelling.
A $1 billion industry, the biggest we've ever had in sports in this country, often comes down to a flip of the coin.
This is the Mike Lupica Podcast. Here's Mike Lupica.
Thanks so much for joining us on the Mike Lupica Podcast. Today we will be joined by a good friend. Does he have his finger on the pulse of the NBA. He just called the game between the Warriors and the Lakers, and now that we are officially past Christmas, the NBA season has finally started here. To talk about all things hoops is Jeff Van Gundy. But before we get started with Jeff, I want to tell you about Peter Manning Clothing. Are you tired of wearing clothes that don't fit right, never finding your size, or spending too much time and money at the tailor? Well, you have to check out my friends at Peter Manning. They've developed a fresh line of apparel specifically designed for not-so-tall guys. You can check them out at www.petermanningnyc.com or visit their store in New York City, as I have, at 933 Broadway. You'll feel good and look great wearing proper-fitting clothes. It's changed thousands of lives, and it'll change yours, too. No more baggy pants, no more pirate arms, and no more tailor tacks. Again, you can visit them online at www.petermanningnyc.com or in Manhattan at 933 Broadway. I can't tell you how much Peter Manning clothing I have, my sons have. Also, if my listeners use code Lupica, you'll get 20% off your order. Again, that's code Lupica for 20% off your order. Check them out today and discover a great fit. Well, welcome to the day after Christmas edition of the Mike Lupica Podcast, and we are lucky enough to have, and it is above and beyond. He's on a family vacation. He did the Lakers-Warriors game last night. He is the smartest and sharpest and funniest observer of NBA basketball. I know him. He is Jeff Van Gundy, coached the Knicks, coached the Rockets now, works with Mike Breen and Mark Jackson on ABC and ESPN's basketball coverage. And first of all, Merry Christmas, Coach.
Merry Christmas.
What a game and what a night. When LeBron walked out of the game or limped out of the game, grimacing, Jeff, was your first reaction that it was something bad?
I didn't know, because he seems to have superhuman powers as far as avoiding injury. But what I did think was that he would be out a few games. Now, whether that's right or wrong, I don't know. But I also thought the Lakers would find a way to lose the game in Golden State.
Right.
You know, would put on this massive rush, which they did, and I was so impressed with the Lakers' ability to hold the fort and then, you know, blow Golden State out on their own court.
We're talking to Jeff Van Gundy on the Mike Lupica Podcast. Let's start with the Lakers, and then we will go over to the defending champions of the whole wide world. Talk about Ivica Zubats. I mean, what 8 for 10, 8 for 12, 9 for 10 in his last three games? Jeff, this guy did not look like a flash in the pan, and he looked exactly like what the Lakers need.
Well, he's got really good skill, Mike. You know, he's got good hands. He can finish around the basket. You saw him post up a couple times where he had a mismatch and, you know, overpowered the opposing defender. I thought, and I've watched a lot of G League basketball for my USA basketball coaching. So what I've seen him play a lot, and so I've seen the offensive skill. What I didn't think he had, which he showed last night, was better mobility defensively, particularly in the pick and roll game, than I thought he had. And I give him a lot of credit for the work he's put in on that agility and mobility, because offensively, he's always had a good level of skill.
Because I'm watching him play last night, Jeff, and I'm thinking, okay, if you had told me at the start of the season what's a piece that the Lakers need to add, it would have been someone with this kid's skill set.
Exactly, and I think Luke Walton, obviously this is a revelation. It's only three games in a row, but it's three really impressive games in a row. And when JaVale McGee gets back, it's going to be interesting to see how Luke Walton figures out the minutes between McGee, Chandler, and Zubac.
Talking to Jeff Van Gundy, who is nice enough in the midst of what now becomes a family vacation in Northern California to come on the podcast today. Jeff, I'm watching the game with my sons last night, and I'm saying, if somebody had told the Lakers at the start of the season, with the period of adjustment and all of these new pieces, that they would be 20-14 at this point in the season and 2.5 games behind the Warriors, how quickly would they have signed up for this?
Oh, there's no question. And, you know, because we're all the way to the new year almost, you know, you forget that they had a struggle of a start and they had Rondo and Ingram out for a period of time. Rondo suspension and injury, Ingram to suspension. They added a lot of volatility to their team with Stevenson and Rondo and so, you know, to me, it speaks to how great James is. And you have to give Lakers management, led by Magic Johnson, a lot of credit, because there was a lot of question marks about, will this all fit together? And so far, so good.
Jeff, when I look at the Lakers, this, and I'll put myself down, and again, it was only one game, but it was the Christmas Day game on the road against the champs. I didn't understand the Rondo move, but I sure as heck understood it after the game was finished last night.
Man, did he have some remarkable finishes, and he absolutely carried them in that period of time where they were, you know, they were listing about where, you know, they could have easily folded up and lost the game. And for them to hold on like they did, Rondo leading the way with some terrific finishes around the basket and some plays off the dribble. And certainly you can see why Luke Walton feels more comfortable with Rondo on the floor right now than he does Lonzo Ball to finish out, you know, a tough game on the road against a great opponent.
They have the most interesting backcourt, I swear, in the league. Because I love Hart. I love the kid from Villanova. Rondo obviously played the way he played last night. They've got Lonzo Ball, and obviously, you know, the man who defies any explanation of position. You know, it's like the old John Calipari line about LeBron James. His position is basketball player. But they got four guys. They got four guys who can really handle, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, like, they have versatility and depth, and I think any more, Mike, depth is, particularly in this regular season, is so much more important because there's so many more games missed due to injury, minutes restrictions, all these things that didn't used to be a part of the NBA, that now, you know, you saw that the difference between those teams last night, LA and Golden State, was the depth. And obviously, Golden State has this tremendous top-heavy starting lineup that is so very good. But the depth is questionable, whereas in L.A., you know, they have many answers that they can find on their bench. Lance Stevenson gave them a good jolt last night off the bench, as did Rondo. And you mentioned Hart. Hart is a terrific player, tremendous competitor, proven winner.
Jeff, they had seven guys in double figures against the champs last night.
Yeah, they played very – I was so impressed, too, for a young team, how smart they played defensively. And Golden State can – you know, they could have rung them up for, you know, 120 last night, but they knew who they wanted to shoot the ball. Like, so they're going to help off Iguodala. They're going to help off Jarebko. They're going to help off McKinney. Now, are those guys capable of making shots? Sure. But – it's a lesser of evils, and I really was impressed with the Lakers' discipline to their defensive scheme.
Jeff, how serious? I don't think Magic and Rob Pelinka are done. Okay, and I think that they're looking at the field, and they know that with all the stuff and all the drama that the Warriors have had so far, they're still sitting based, you know, in second place in the Western Conference, which is a meat grinder. Okay. I don't think the Lakers are done. And so it's a long way around to ask you the question, How serious a player do you think this team and LeBron can be come playoff time?
If you would have asked me that at the first of the year, I would have said, are you kidding me? If they make the playoffs, it'll be a good year, right? And
right.
Now you could see them being having home court in the first round. The Western Conference is, like you said, very deep. And
volatile, too. And it's volatile. Jeff, it's volatile, you know?
Exactly. And so I don't think they could beat Golden State in a series. But other than that, who could you say they wouldn't be at least competitive with in a
100%.
Series?
100%.
So,
yeah, 100%.
Right? Yep. So if they could make another move, why not? Because this idea that LeBron James has all these years there to, you know, they can slowly build. I've never understood that. No, this guy is still great now. Go for it now, because you never know at that age, you know, when it heads downhill.
When you look at him, I want to ask you about LaVar Ball in a second, because it's a name that doesn't come up at all in the NBA season. Again, this is something I was talking about with my sons. He has been not only the best athlete of my lifetime, and I know Brady and the baseball players and everybody. This guy has been the main event of the last, you know, decade and moving up on decade and a half in sports. And when he limped out of the game last night, I'm thinking to myself, when he finally does leave the room, Jeff, it's going to be like 100 guys left the room. He has lifted everything. He has lifted teams. He has lifted the sport. He's obviously lifted his own brand. He hasn't been perfect. Some of the stuff he's done and said lately is not worthy of him. But, oh, my God, when he's not in the gym, it's not as interesting a sport to me.
Well, there's no question. And he's done it for, you know, three different organizations now. You know, you look at his draft class, you know, like some of the great players in that draft class, and, you know, it's him. It's only him that's still standing at the level of play that it almost defies logic that he's still this good, this late in his career, this many minutes into his NBA career. He's a remarkable, remarkable athlete that I think we do appreciate, but you always appreciate greatness more once it's gone. And I think it's going to be an incredible blow to the NBA franchise, because even though we'll have other great players, these type of dominant athletes like Jordan and James, they just don't replicate themselves.
The worst records in the league right now are Hawks, Bulls, Knicks, Cavaliers, and Suns, okay? If you put LeBron on any one of those teams, I swear to God, I believe he makes them a playoff team.
I agree.
You do agree?
I'm not so sure about the Hawks.
yeah, okay.
But listen, it's not outrageous. I mean, that's how good he is, because all those teams, listen, if he was on the Suns and they had a healthy Booker and Ayton, they may have home court advantage right now.
Right. Right.
So I
know.
It's crazy.
Because there's some talent in the room there. Okay. One other thing on Lonzo Ball and his dad. Who do you think it was at the Lakers that basically said to the old man, listen, You either stop talking or we're going to trade your kid to Orlando because we haven't heard a peep out of him, Jeff.
It is interesting, right? I mean, last year at this time, he was the, you know, everybody number one topic of conversation,
right?
Every talk show, every basketball show. He was a dominant figure. And so I'm not sure if he decided or if they decided as a family or if Lonzo asked his dad to please, you know, quiet down. But you certainly haven't heard as much. He's definitely not in the news. And really, his son is being allowed to develop like other young players are now, free of pressure, you know, low expectations. And I like so many things about how his son plays.
Yeah, me
but
too.
He has to improve his shooting. He just has to. Like, he's got to finish better around the basket. He's got to be able to shoot the three better, because he is a good player. Other than that,
by the way, I always say, and I think any fair observer who's, you know, of my generation, the greatest three-man basketball announcing crew was Dick Enberg, Billy Packer, and Al McGuire. But you guys, you and Breen and Jackson, have elevated yourself into that status. And I just, there were two conversations. One, they put you and Mark on when you quit, the debate about what the ball could hit and what body parts you could hit with the ball and which that were great. You explain it because you were part of the conversation.
No, I don't understand why you can't kick the ball in basketball, why it's a violation. In volleyball, they play with their hands, but it's allowable to kick the ball with their feet to save a ball. Like, I don't understand this, whether they kick or not. Who cares? Like, play on.
By the way, you're right about Bill Walton. Bill Walton's the greatest college basketball player of all time. And no disrespect meant to anybody else, but you know, I've told you this before. My friend Bob Ryan, who loves the sport and knows the sport, and he's in the Hall of Fame, okay? He said, when I always ask him the question, if we took all the best players of all time and brought him into the gym, and we're choosing up sides for the game. And I know people look at him cross-eyed when he says this. He said, I would take the young and healthy Bill Walton first.
I was born and raised on the West Coast, so the only basketball you got, college basketball, when I was growing up was UCLA. That's it, right? And so, like, this guy was beyond dominant in college, and only for a triple overtime, I think it was, lost to North Carolina State and David Thompson. I mean, this guy, like, he would have run the table. Now, listen, Jabbar, who was Alcindor then, it's hard, like, that was Mark's point. He's definitely, those two, to me, are the only two in the discussion. I just think Walton was such a great defender, rebounder. And listen, he scored like a great scorer does, but that was never his greatest strength. It reminds me in some ways of James, in that LeBron James, he may well become the all-time leading scorer in NBA history, and it's not even his greatest strength as a player. His passing is what, you know, stood out. And the same with Walton. Like, Walton's passing, man, incredible.
By the way, it was double overtime. It's 1974. I just looked it up. North Carolina State beat UCLA 80-77. And it's really the only time anybody ever marked up Bill Walton. And you know, what you got to remember about him in the pros, Jeff, is not only do they win that year in Portland, they were 50-10 the next year when Walton got hurt, when he hurt his foot.
What a team they had out in Portland. Jack Ramsey is the coach. Dave Twardzik, Johnny Davis, Bobby Gross, Maurice Lucas. And, you know, you think about that team, right? In today's NBA, you know what everybody would have said? Who's their big three? Like, right. You can win with a team and a great player as the fulcrum, which Walton certainly was.
All right, let's talk about the Warriors, the other team in the gym last night. And, you know, this isn't a gloom and doom. They're still so damn good, and they're so damn deep, and they're so damn talented. But my friend Bill Simmons was tweeting about this yesterday and into the night watching the game. What's happened to Draymond Green, Jeff?
Well, there's been a drop-off. There's no doubt. I mean, you know, his shooting has always been suspect, but his impact on the game last night was minimal.
It was minimal, right?
Yeah. And you couple that with Klay Thompson's prolonged shooting slump, and what you have is Curry, Durant, those two guys, and a bunch of guys who are just okay. You know, their depth has really taken a huge hit over the last year. And as they wait on Cousins, they're not a deep team. And like you said, Green's injury earlier in the year, I don't know if that's still bothering him, but he certainly was a reluctant shooter last night and really had very minimal impact on the Warriors. You didn't really notice him a lot last night.
We're talking to my friend Jeff Van Gundy. He and that announcing crew have become state of the art. Breen is great. Mark and Jeff are great together. And it's just pure fun when you know that the three of them are doing the game. And I'm reluctant to say that it was Christmas night and the Warriors didn't show up because they did make that run in the second half. But Jeff, do you think there will be another Warriors game this year where a healthy Kevin Durant, a healthy Steph Curry, and a healthy Klay Thompson will combine for 12 baskets?
I would take that bet and run to Vegas with that one. That's one I would.
Unbelievable. Right? It's unbelievable. Durant and Curry were 10 for 30, just the two of them, and Klay Thompson was 2 for 7. In, by the way, 33 minutes of play.
Yeah, and I really liked how the Lakers defended. Now, certainly, there were some more makeable shots out there for those guys, but I think their approach was different than a lot of teams. They sold out on those guys more. They were going to make Jarebko and McKinney and Green and the and Looney and all these other guys beat them. And I think it's smart percentage basketball. And Luke Walton, remember, like, he has, having spent time in Golden State, both as an acting head coach and an assistant coach, I think understands, you know, more so than most, just how you need to try to defend Golden State, knowing that they could still blow you out with any type of plan, because that greatness of Curry and Durant and Thompson from a firepower standpoint is phenomenal.
When is Boogie Cousins going to play, Jeff? Does anybody know for sure?
Well, I think it's that injury of the Achilles, and particularly for men of size, the idea that he's going to play, I think there's no doubt. But how well is he going to play? What's his mobility going to be like defensively? I think what we do with guys coming off injury and major injury is we remember them for what they were versus what he'll be when he first comes back. I think it's going to be a struggle for him movement-wise, and I'll be interested to see how many minutes he can go. But they have a black hole there right now. Right. Looney gives them all he's got, but they're small. They lost Damian Jones to a season-ending surgery. He was a young big for them. And I think they're going to be in that pickup mode when guys are ultimately bought out as we head to the trade deadline. They're going to need to add to their roster, because right now they just don't have enough. And Cousins may be part of it, or we may be expecting too much from Cousins coming back off that, very difficult Achilles injury.
You once famously said, it's one of my favorite lines that you ever had, which was, if they don't get you on results, they'll get you on relationships. Okay. How are the relationships, just, from your view, but you have access to these people, especially when you do a game. How are the relationships in the Warriors locker room? And I'll give you two, because I still watch these games and I know they've won together. But it's in all ways, if you watch this team, Durant is the first look now. It's not Steph Curry, who they started this whole thing with. And the Draymond Durant thing, I don't care what they say, that's not going to go away.
Well, there's no doubt that there will be lingering feelings between Durant and Green. That wasn't a one-off. And I think just because it became public in that one game, that doesn't mean this hasn't happened other times between them, right? So that we haven't been privy to see. So I agree with you. Winning masks a lot of the things that, can get in the way chemistry-wise. I think that one, they're going so overboard to say it won't prevent them from winning.
Yeah.
And I agree, it probably won't prevent them from winning, other than if it makes Durant look elsewhere in the offseason. And then, I think the Curry Durant, I think Curry is such a unique, great player in that I think he enjoys other people's success. I don't think he resents not being you know, the leading scorer on a given night. I think, to use a Greg Popovich term, he got over himself long, long ago, and he truly is in just into the team. I couldn't be more impressed, obviously, with his skill, but more so just who he is and how he handles himself. And when he screws up, he says he screws up, and how deeply he cares about his team and his teammates. And so I think it's his personality that allows them to keep what would be, in normal circumstances, rough waters as smooth as they can be.
You know, when I look at the Warriors, and obviously, you know, they're one suspension away from going for five titles in a row. I don't even think anybody would dispute the fact that if Draymond doesn't get suspended that time from game five, they're going to win that series. So they you know, could very easily be going for five in a row. But the elephant in the room is Durant and where he's going to play next year. And I don't know Kevin Durant. I watch him from, you know, the expression is from 30,000 feet. Okay. But is there a part of Kevin Durant that may want to go somewhere else because he wants to show that he is more than being a Warrior and going there to get easy titles? Not that any title is easy, obviously.
No, he might. You know, and I think you make a good point. It's hard to know what Kevin Durant or any player, even like LeBron James last year, people would always say, where's he going to end up? And my retort was always, until you know a person's priorities, you don't know where they're going to go. So if his priority is to win, Durant, then you'll have a certain list. If it's to play in a certain location, well then, you know, like let's say it's New York. He wants to play in New York. Well, then you got the Knicks or Brooklyn pick. And so it's hard to know what he's thinking. I think a lot of these guys like the drama that builds up where they're the talk. And like this Durant free agency certainly will have a major impact on the Warriors, the Western Conference, and maybe the entire league, depending on what his priorities are and what he ultimately decides.
We're talking with the great Jeff Van Gundy, and I mean great because we're going to talk about this today. This is one of the great three-man basketball booths of all time on the Mike Lubica podcast. More with Mr. Van Gundy in a minute, but first a word from Geico. There's a quick way you could save money. Just switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. How about a homeowner's or renter's insurance? You bet Geico's got you covered. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's geico.com. I'm talking to my friend Jeff Van Gundy on the Mike Lubica podcast. And again, I'm not going to keep him terribly long today. The Van Gundys are going to take a drive down to Carmel. And, you know, his happiness is important to me because if he doesn't have a conversation with me on the phone about 15 years ago about starting a team of my own with 12-year-olds in my town, then I wouldn't have written all these books for young readers. So, you know, I'm extremely invested in Coach Van Gundy's happiness. Okay. I don't know how much of yesterday you saw, Coach. What an interesting and wonderful display of the NBA we witnessed on Christmas Day, depending how much people could watch around dinners and opening presents. And, you know, I'll quote Ryan again. And we all love college basketball, but I sometimes think it's as a product, it's extremely overrated. And Bob was saying, Coach, that if the game, just that the Suns and the Wizards, that triple overtime game they played last Saturday night had been a college game that people had seen, they would have talked about it for months and months. And Ryan's point is not exactly triple overtime games, but he said there's great games that go on night after night after night in the NBA, not always with the marquee teams. And he was speaking to the level of the product right now.
No, I totally agree with that because, you know, you'll see these extraordinary plays and players like Devin Booker, right? He's an extraordinary player on an awful team. And yet they go through the East and they get whole and they play exceptionally well. They win in Boston, you know, and you don't do that without terrific players. And so I would agree with that. The one thing the NBA can't even come close to college basketball on is the crowd, when the students are there, right? That's what makes a college basketball game. But as far as great play and great skill, the NBA, there's nothing like it. And I'll say this, if you just took it play for play, not crowd noise, you could go to the G League and you would see, you would be able to see this over most college games, like an incredible level of skill there too. So, yeah, I think we love the passion of college basketball. We love the format of March Madness, who's going to make it, who's not, who advances, the one-and-done type of mentality there. But as far as play, I absolutely agree with Bob Ryan. A regular NBA game would be the most talked-about college game of the season.
All right, let's talk. I watched a fair amount because we had finished dinner, so we're watching the Celtics and the Sixers from Boston, which is a terrific game. Ends up in overtime. Kyrie goes crazy. They have a 13-1 run in overtime, and they win the game. I know, Coach, I know how talented the Philadelphia 76ers are, okay? But I watched that team, and I watched them in big moments, and I love Ben Simmons' talent, but you can see they're still reluctant because of his shooting to have the ball in his hands. And if he's one of your best players and you're afraid to throw him the ball or have him directing the offense at the end of these close games, I'm not saying it's a fatal flaw with the Sixers, but it's to me, and you can to completely debunk this, it's a problem.
Well, I do. I think they have a couple issues they have to address. One is their depth, right? So they made a 2-for-1 trade for Butler. They lost Bellinelli and Ilyasova. So that's four critical pieces they lost from last year's team, and only Jimmy Butler coming in. So I think they have a huge depth issue that they, too, have to try to address prior to the playoffs. I think, secondarily, I think Embiid and their turnovers, they're a high turnover team. In many cases, I think they've got to try to improve that. And I think Embiid has got to get in as great a physical condition as he can, because with their team right now, his workload is going to be unbelievable every night. And so he's got to get in great shape. And I think you're right about the Ben Simmons thing. He's a terrific player with a terrific flaw in that he can only spread the floor or he can't spread the floor, and he's got to do all his damage right around the basket.
Right.
And that rarely shows up until the fourth quarter of a game and fourth quarter of playoff games. But they have to have answers for that. And because he's not a range shooter, he has to have the ball in his hands a lot, because that's when he has to be guarded. If he's spotted up at the three-point line, obviously his man doesn't have to, doesn't have to stay at home. He can help. He can freelance. He can roam and disrupt the others. So I think, like you said, Ben Simmons is a terrific player, but I think Philly has some issues they have to definitely work on prior to the playoffs.
And you're right about depth. I mean, I'm looking at the stat sheet from last night. I mean, the four guys off the bench are Muscala, Shamet, McConnell, and Korkmaz. I mean, and then you look at the guys that the Celtics bring off the bench, okay? And it's not even close. I mean, they're bringing Gordon Hayward and Jaylen Brown off the bench.
Exactly. And Terry Rozier. And, like, right now, like, the Celtics' depth, I think hurt them early in the year in that they had so many guys that no one was playing well. I think, you know, Brown and Rozier in particular had to take this step back minutes-wise to incorporate Hayward and the return of Irving, that it made everybody feel uncomfortable coming off the Eastern Conference playoffs last year. The ball wasn't in Jason Tatum's hands, and I didn't think anyone was playing well. And then they had a couple of injuries, minor injuries along the way, and I think it allowed them to rework their starting lineup, put Smart in. I think they've done a good job And I just think the depth is so great for both Toronto and Boston that when you look at Philly, to think that their main three guys are going to be able to carry them past the deep and talented Toronto and Boston, I think would be wrong. And I think they know it. I think they're going to try to do exactly what they did last year. People forget last year, Mike, I think they were 25-25. And then they added the depth of Bellinelli and Ilyasova, and they went 27-5 the rest of the regular season. They're going to need to hit a home run in that free agent, buyout. Whoever's going to be bought out, they need to hit a home run in that area to bolster their depth so that they're as, close to as deep as those two teams I mentioned before.
Hey, by the way, I'm looking at the standings because I want to focus on the Christmas Day games because I have the chance to talk to you today. Who would have thought, Jeff Van Gundy, at the start of the season, that as we're approaching the new year, there would be more 20-victory teams in the Eastern Conference than there are in the Western Conference, but that's a fact.
Well, it shows you the depth of the West and how bad the bottom teams are in the East, right? That you can beat up on those teams and build, this record up for the top half. But I also think the top half of the East, they're legit. I think whoever comes out of the East is going to challenge whoever comes out of the West. I don't think it's a given that our champion is going to be out of the West this year.
I looked at the standings today and I wasn't even going to mention them, but it speaks to something Jeff Van Gundy said to me, and it was an offhand comment one time last year. We were talking one day and he referred to Eric Spoelstra as a Hall of Fame coach. And then I started thinking about it and I thought, yeah, Jeff's right. He's a Hall of Fame coach. And the Heat got off to a terrible start and they've clawed their way back to 16-16, Jeff.
Really remarkable. They've had incredible amount of injuries. Dragic is out, and they continue to win because they know who they are. They defend hard, and they move the ball. And when you do those two things in the NBA, you'll give yourself a chance. And I think Eric has consistently proven, he got his most notoriety for the LeBron years, right? When they went to four straight finals, won two of them. But prior to LeBron coming, I thought he proved on a nightly basis that he was a great coach. And since LeBron left, and they've had this void of star players, he too has proven just what an outstanding coach he has been ever since he took over for Pat Riley.
Jeff Van Gundy is my guest on the Mike Lupica podcast, and soon the Van Gundys will be heading down to Carmel, which is just only one of the most magical places on the planet. All right. Do you buy that the Rockets have righted the ship? Wait a minute. Can a Rocket right the ship? Maybe it can. And figured things out.
Well, I think they can right the ship as far as they can rely on James Harden. Like, to me right now, that he's not being discussed for MVP is, I don't understand it. It's nonsensical to me. I think the Rockets, like Philly, like Golden State, they have huge depth issues. They're starting Daniel House as a power forward who's in the G League earlier in the year. They're missing James Ennis, who's out. They're missing Chris Paul, who's out. This is a very, very lean team. And James Harden, for them to beat quality teams, has to be great. And like yesterday, he gets 41 and people don't even look like, they don't like even notice it. It's like, yeah, Harden had 41. Yeah, he's leading scorer in the league. He's a great passer. And all I ever hear about is people nitpicking his defense. And the only thing I would say is that every great scorer in this league plays occasional defense. They're not, like, grinding it like Marcus Smart on every defensive possession. I don't think they could have the energy to do both. So I think Harden, to me, if not the most valuable player in our league right now, he's certainly in that discussion, and he's going to absolutely have to carry Houston until Houston can fortify their roster as well.
Jeff, one of the best teams in the league, and again, another team that got off to a slow start, is Oklahoma City. I think I might be off on my math, but I don't think I am. With the good records at the top of both conferences, I think they have the sixth best winning percentage in the league right now. And, you know, I love their coach, and I love those two guys. They're playing. They're really playing.
They are, and I think they started 0-4, if I'm not mistaken, this year.
And Billy was going to be in trouble. Oh, my God. Billy was going to be in trouble the way Luke Walton was going to be in trouble after the late. Yeah, I mean, oh, my
right.
God.
But you know what they do? And Westbrook has had an up-and-down offensive year. George, as you mentioned, is playing really well. But they are a great defensive team. They're great. They're big. They're long. They're active. They're athletic. And they are hard to score on. And so every night they have that pillar of defense, and then they're a terrific rebounding team. You know, they're a up and down offensive team because they have very little shooting from range. It's really Paul George, and that's it from the 3-point line.
Right.
But that defense and rebounding, that foundation is terrific. And then you have the individual greatness of George and Westbrook. And so I really like how they're playing right now, and I think they're really achieving at a high level. I think they're going to be a very difficult out in the playoffs.
And, you know, Jerami Grant and Steven Adams, they're pretty good players. They're pretty efficient NBA players.
Yeah, and I think Steven Adams, because he plays in the shadow of Westbrook and George, gets overlooked for how good he is. Terrific defender, great screener, offensive rebounder, improved scorer. So he's a terrific player.
When you look at the league, Jeff, we were having a conversation about coaches, and you know, and obviously Rick Pitino hasn't lost anything as a coach. It's things that have happened off the court with him, about him, to him, and now, you know, he's on his way to Greece. And I know Larry Brown is 78 years old, but he's gone to Italy to continue to coach. Pop is still thriving in San Antonio and trying to figure it out there, and they're two games over 500. Jeff, is there a profile of the modern coach that doesn't fit the old mold of, again, I'm putting air brackets around this, the super coach? And I just look at the guys who are having success. Okay. Nick Nurse, who I had to look up earlier because I had forgotten who was coaching the Toronto Raptors when they had the best record in the league. Actually, I think they still have the best record in the league. Is there a modern relationship? And you've coached at a high level in two places, should have won a championship in New York in 97. Okay. Has the profile shifted at all for coaches in the modern NBA?
I think you can be any age and win big in the NBA. I think you can be a great relationship builder, whether you're young or you're old. But I do think there's a tendency by those that hire that have a little bit of age bias. I think that they think that you can only have a good relationship if you're a little bit younger. I don't agree with that. I think you can be.
No, neither do I. I mean, right. Jeff, look at the job Dwayne K.G. gets fired. That's in Toronto. Exactly. He's 61 years old. Look at the job he's doing with the Pistons.
No, exactly. So I just think that it's more of a function of the people who are hiring now and their perceptions. But I don't think in reality it has changed at all. And I'll say, you mentioned those legendary Hall of Fame coaches, like that Larry Brown and Rick Pitino. And I'll say more for Coach Pitino because he's a little bit younger. I think he's 66, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. That some athletic director didn't say, hey, listen, nothing has ever been proven about, like, this supposed college basketball scandal that Rick had anything to do with it. He was the only one to lose his job. Like, I can't believe some president and AD didn't get together and say, let's go hire that guy.
Right.
He'll turn around, he'll excite, he'll sell, he'll build, and we'll win. That didn't happen, I'm surprised about, but I hope he has great success overseas.
Just a couple more minutes with Jeff Van Gundy. Right now, at this point in the season, before you, Cam and Maddie, get in the car, what is the biggest surprise to you in the league this season so far?
Sacramento. I think that Sacramento's hovering around that 500 mark. To me, I saw them in the preseason, and I thought they were awful. And they had been awful for a long period of time. And the job Dave Yeager, his staff, and his players have done, defies logic. But they've done it for a long enough time that you have to say, hey, they're the real deal. And I think they have the Lakers next. And I think it's tomorrow night they play the Lakers at home. And whether James is there or not, Sacramento is a team that deserves a lot of credit for, after years of futility, figuring out some formula to be competitive and, as you call, the meat grinder of a conference.
I want you to have a great day on the coast in California. Give my love to your bride and your daughter, who I was lucky enough to speak at her school last year. And again, on the morning after Christmas, early on the West Coast, I am so grateful that you got up and did this today.
No problem, Mike. Good talking to you. Take care.
Have a great day, Jeff. Jeff Van Gundy on the Mike Lubega podcast. I mean, every time we have him on, this conversation could have gone on for 45 minutes. We didn't even get to the Indiana Pacers and how the Charlotte Hornets are doing. It's that kind of sport right now. It's why this podcast continues to grow, and it's going to grow even more. We'll have some news around the start of the year. Continue to download, continue to subscribe, and leave comments if you want to, and we'll talk to you in the new year, everybody.
The Mike Lupica podcast is produced and distributed by Compass Media Networks in conjunction with Hiltzik Creative. For iPhone users, go to the podcast app and search the Mike Lupica podcast. Click on the Mike Lupica podcast icon and subscribe. For non-iPhone users, you can listen on Google Play Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, or your preferred podcast platform.